All right. Well, Major League Baseball's opening day rosters had an all-time high of foreign-born players, 259, just under 30% of the league, and the players represent 19 countries or territories, most of them coming from Latin America. Here in Chicago, we see that firsthand with some of our biggest stars, Javi Baez on the north side, Jose Abreu on the south side, among many others. So how is baseball culture changing now that record number of Latin American players are in the clubhouse? Joining me tonight from the new website, LaVidaBaseball.com, Clemson Smith-Munoz. Clemson is a bilingual sportscaster that does play-by-play for MLB Network. He's covered the Yankees in New York, and now he's in Chicago as the executive editor of LaVidaBaseball.com. Clemson, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Also joining us on the line, Adrian Burgos. He is the professor of history at the University of Illinois, but more for this conversation, he's the editor-in-chief of LaVidaBaseball.com. Adrian, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Like you would say, mi jefe.
Thanks for having me on, Justin.
Adrian, let me start with you. What's the need for a site, LaVidaBaseball.com?
The need is that, you know, here you have an opportunity to get the voices of the players from Latin America, U.S. Latinos, in the language, in the culture that they're familiar with. Our aim is to be the platform where these ball players can share what's going on in their minds, what's going on back home, and what is the baseball life for these players? For too long, they did not have a platform of this sort to tell their stories, to share their stories. And this is where we're stepping into that gap to really give a flavor of what is La Vida Baseball.
Clemson, you've seen it firsthand as a sportscaster and covering Major League Baseball. There really is a lack of a platform for some of these players.
Yes, because most reporters do not speak Spanish. Or Japanese, for that matter.
Right.
You cover them in English. And I've always said, you get a better story in English if you speak to the players in Spanish. And I've been a journalist in the States since 1980. And for a long time, I was like the only one. Not only, forget about being the only Latino, only one who could speak Spanish in a clubhouse and get a better understanding. The players, I know that some people in this country say, well, learn English, we're earning millions. But, hey, you go work abroad.
Right.
And be forced to learn a language and adapt.
I mean, there's 19, 20-year-old kids, too.
Yeah, the other thing is, it always astounded me that newspapers or online sites now didn't work harder to have bilingual reporters on staff. You're seeing a growth, but it's still most teams here, they have reporters maybe understand something, but they can speak, sit down and talk to a player in their language, do the story in their mm-hmm. language, and then translate it to English, very few and far in between.
Adrian, that seems to be an issue as well. I mean, we've seen that play out here in Chicago. Last year, Aroldis Chapman came to Chicago, and because of lousy interpreting at the beginning, there was a cloud over him when he got here. And the first day, there were headlines in the newspaper about disrespect or not understanding. And so, I mean, you see that a lot with players when there is a misunderstanding just at the basic level when it comes to the media.
For Latinos started playing baseball in the 1860s. They started playing Major League Baseball basically as soon as Major League Baseball was around. And so what's fascinating to me as a historian and as a journalist these days as well is so many things get lost in translation. And one of the things that we have sought to do in building La Vida Baseball is that when we go up to Yadier Molina, we'll tell him en español or en inglés, in Spanish or English, tell us, we'll interview, we'll translate it, because so often the opportunity for the player, what does the media want? We want to get the player's insight. But is the media equipped to get the Latino player's insight if they're not bilingual? Right. And what we lose in that story is so valuable. And that's not the player's job. It's the media's job to get us that as fans and audience. And that is really what we're trying to get at, so that the fans, the audience can hear what Yadier is thinking about, but also what he's living, to hear what Javi Baez has to say, and let them tell it in the language that they feel most eloquent in. Don't put this barrier between the media and the fan of, oh, he has to say it in this language.
Right.
You know, get the story out there.
Well, I mean, are there some, I mean, you know, Clemson, we were talking off air before we began. I mean, there are some players that will use language sort of to hide behind it. I mean, they understand what you're saying, and but they, as players, don't want to talk to the media, or they want to keep their words as close as possible to the vest. I mean, how, as a journalist, do you get through that?
One, you have to show that you're genuine in your interest. And the fact that you try to speak Spanish, it's a big step, that you're talking to them in their language, and you make them feel more comfortable. It's how you think about it. It's, English is a hard language to learn. In Spanish, the vowels are flat. Their rules. There are 22 countries that speak Spanish. The problem is not how you pronounce the words. It's just that you got maybe 22 ways to say things. but English. Think of English and Queen's English and the Irish English, and yeah, English can drive you crazy. Even if you were born and raised here. And so it's hard. And today we were at the G, and we were there because of the Royals. And we are an English language website because we're going after the Latino market in this country, a market that's increasingly not only bicultural but bilingual and acculturated, which is different from assimilated. Acculturated means you get to pick and choose in what language you want to enjoy your media, your culture, your food, and whatever. You're comfortable. And in my generation, we'll use English and Spanish. We won't. It's not like you're doing Spanglish, bastardizing one language. Because
right.
It's we take the language that best expresses the thought in a moment. And sometimes it's a phrase in English, and sometimes it's a phrase in Spanish.
I would say in baseball, I mean, there's baseball language. As a broadcaster, there are certain words that may not apply in one language or another. Like, the simple phrase of home run, or like we're talking about slugger, where there are different ways to say that. But the best way to sum that up is the word slugger.
Well, slugger in English, but you can say in Spanish toletero. Because he connects, toletazo is a hard hit ball. Oh, but you can also call it tablazo. So how many ways can we say home run? We can say cuadrangular, which is four bases. You can say jonrón, which is a classic Spanglish translation. I like to use bambinazo, homage to Babe Ruth. Or I have a Trolingo call, which I, you know, when you know it's going out, you say something like, goodbye, adios, sayonara.
You did them all, right?
Yeah, well, that's the game today. You know, or you can use the Arnold Schwarzenegger's famous line, hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista.
You know, it's in the game. And I think this game is universal. And Adrian said earlier, the game spread to Latin America. It took roots in Latin America and Japan. At the same time, it was coalescing here into what we know today. The National League started in 1876. The first Cuban League was 1878, 2 years later. And what people don't realize in the States is that this game has been played almost as long in other countries, in other parts of the world.
They think like it's a fad, like it's just coming in the last couple decades.
No,
but that's not the truth.
It's been, so when you talk about unwritten rules, I say, well, which rules?
Yeah, right.
Which country? And I like to say, this is not the national pastime. This is the America's game.
Clemson Smith Munoz is one of the – he's the executive editor of the new site La Vida Baseball. Also on the line, Adrian Burgos, Jr. He's a professor of history at the University of Illinois, and he's the editor-in-chief for LaVidaBaseball.com. We're talking about Latin American players and the connection – you know, to baseball culture. And Adrian, let me ask you this as a historian. You know, when I say baseball culture and I think of all the language that is used by the players, meaning communication on the field and the dugout and the clubhouse, is that a language? Is that more of an unspoken language? I mean, talk about how that translates when it comes to players coming from different regions of the world.
Yeah. Let me start the answer by reminding people that Latinos are the first group of immigrants and migrants to the United States that came with baseball. Coming out of Cuba, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Dominican Republic, coming from Puerto Rico. Unlike the Polish, unlike the German immigrants of the 20th century who arrived and became Americanized through baseball, Latinos came with the culture where baseball's king.
Right.
You know, it is the pastime in Cuba. And the thing about that is there is already a way in which Latinos play baseball. And even I'll throw it back to the era of the Negro Leagues. When Roy Campanella became a catcher with the Brooklyn Dodgers, he was asked, would white pitchers throw to you? Will they listen to you? He said, why wouldn't they? They did in Cuba. They did in Mexico. They did when I played in Venezuela. The culture of baseball in Latin America disrupts a lot of the written and unwritten rules of baseball in the United States.
Yeah.
Frank Robinson, the first manager, African-American manager in Major League Baseball, where did he wet his chops as a manager? Puerto Rico, in the Puerto Rican League.
Santuzza Crabbers.
So part of this is these ball players, and I think, I forget which of the Dominican players said this, about bat flipping, about the joy. I'm not there just for myself. I am privileged to be a major league player. I am going to enjoy it, and I'm going to celebrate it for all those fans back home and all those players back home who may never get this chance. So when we hit a big home run, we are going to celebrate not just for myself, but for my people, for my country. This is what we saw in the World Baseball Classic.
You know, I was going to say the World Baseball, that World Baseball Classic moment where we saw just sort of all of the major league players playing against each other, representing their countries. There was something there about the first time that maybe an American audience really got into the idea of cheering on a Latin American ball club, especially what we saw in the World Baseball Classic. What was it about this tournament that got everybody's attention, Clemson?
The growing number of Latino players means there are more good teams. You know, Venezuela this year had 77 players on the opening day rosters, their largest number in history.
Wow.
So you have the boom in Venezuela. You have the growing numbers from Dominican Republic, 93. Puerto Rico used to be the dominant country, 50s, 60s. It's gone down for a number of reasons, but it's coming back up. But the point is, you had these Caribbean powerhouses who were good. They brought good players to the tournament. Then you have the Netherlands, which I prefer to call the Dutch Antilles or the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. But they've been playing baseball almost along in five languages. You know, Dutch, English, Spanish, Papimiento. people don't realize, again, this sport is played on a global level. And you had more good teams, so you had more competitive games, passionate games. You know, Colombia's out there. They almost beat the States. They should have beat the States.
Right.
And they lost in extra innings, and there's bad luck. But they have talent, and they're on the world stage. The difference is we grew up in Puerto Rico dreaming playing for Ireland. And this country, I think, it happens in the Olympics, but in other sports, it never took root.
Right. You don't think if you're growing up as a baseball player now, like, I can't wait to play for my country in a tournament.
Exactly.
You think about it, you want to play in the Major League Baseball, right?
This country is getting it finally in soccer. See how soccer has finally penetrated American psychic, and every World Cup we have Uncle Sam's Army and all that. They get it. But it hasn't permeated to the other sports.
You know, as I think about this website, it's not a website, La Vida Baseball, that's going to sort of collect the scores and statistics of Latin American players. It's really about telling their stories. And I think about what value is there in telling the stories of a Sergio Romo or the Royals, that's Salvador Perez, who you just went down to today. What's the value in letting more sports fans know about what Salvador Perez is thinking? Either you guys can take that one.
Adrian?
Yeah, again, I'll start with Romo this instance. Sergio Romo lives a very U.S. Latino experience of being binational on the cultural sense, being Mexican and American. And he gave this particularly poignant quote. He says, I'm American with Mexican parts. And that's how he sees himself.
That's great.
And he shares that story and the passion for the game. And when his walk-in music starts playing, it is Mexicans' music coming out. And you see all the baseball fans then in San Francisco and now in L.A. you know, they start dancing to it, and it's Sergio time. And Salvador Perez similarly gives the experience of being Venezuelan, of loving the game, the passion. And people need to know, because they celebrate what's going on in the field, it's not about disrespect. It is about respecting the opportunity and the passion and the commitment and the work it takes to be there. Javi Baez play during the World Baseball Classic, the no-look tag. Mm-hmm. People's like, oh, what a hot dog. It's like, do you understand how much practice it takes to know where to position your body, that you can actually do that tag, tag the guy out, acknowledge Yadi's great throw? That it's practice. It's not just the moment. He didn't discover that in a moment. That comes out of hard work, and that is what the players are celebrating on the field.
When I think of some of the players, even some of the players that are coming up here in Chicago in the minor leagues, we were just talking about Yael Moncada from Cuba, just this concept that younger players are going to come into a major media market that is Chicago. Latino players who may not speak the language, who may not necessarily be embraced right away by a fan base that doesn't get to hear from them because the media avoids them, because once they get past their first day on, they're hard to interview. They're difficult because they don't understand the language. For fans that are coming up right now who better understand the game and better understand the players, what do they need to know about what a Yael Moncada is going to go through when he comes into the majors?
In the case of Moncada, got to remember that he grew up in Cuba. So sometimes it's hard to think about the Cuban reality because it's couched in political terms, Cold War. We're still mad at the Castros. They're still, you want embargoes, you want to punish them. And you don't sit there and say, well, how did Yasiel Puig grow up? How did Aroldis Chapman grow up? What did they have? Did they have the same amenities we had, or a middle-class family? No. So it's a 19-year-old kid, young kid, who signed this huge contract with Boston. He got $31.5 million, more than any other free agent, but the other guy's got several millions, and it's like, boom, you're taking them out from a cocoon, a time warp, and then bringing them to 21st century America, and you want to judge them by the same values, you want to see them by the same prism, and not realizing that you have lifted somebody out of a closed country and brought them to a foreign country, foreign language, and they're just like trying to figure it out.
Clemson's
good. And I think that Moncada will be under that spotlight, and that the White Sox, I hope, are aware. I think they're aware.
I think they are, yeah. Renteria has something to do with that. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. LaVitaBaseball.com is the website. Clemson Smith Munoz is a executive editor of the site, a longtime baseball journalist. He does play-by-play for MLB Network. Adrian Burgos Jr. is a professor of history at the University of Illinois and the editor-in-chief for LaVitaBaseball.com. Thanks for coming in, guys, and I'd love to have you back. We can talk more about this issue and just about baseball in general.
Anytime.